Welcome to the weekly message from CCU Orlando and presented by Unity of Nashville here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today's message was recorded on Sunday, April 5th, 2020. And now, Senior Minister and Spiritual Leader, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Well, you all may remember that last week I discussed, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, a little about my journaling process. And I said, there's three journals, and I'm going to mention those now because one important aspect, that every morning I sit down and journal how I feel. So my first journal is my feeling journal. At the end of saying what my feelings are, remember I'm using the word I feel. Before I move on to my gratitudes, I'm somehow claiming some I am for myself. Some affirmation of the good. And as Dawn was doing the meditation, I was just enjoying those I am statements, and it reminded me of a wonderful I am that was done repeatedly by one of our founders, co-founders Myrtle Fillmore. I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. Even though she already had a diagnosis, her affirmation was, I am a child of God, therefore, I do not inherit sickness. If you are having worries of sickness, if you are writing in your feeling journal, I feel worried or I feel scared or whatever that may be, I want you to be able to remind yourself then of the truth using your I am. I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. I want you to be able to affirm that. So the reason we say our feelings is to release those and not have them run our thoughts. So often, if we have feelings, we run from them. But what that does is that keeps us caught in the feeling. So as we write it down, how I feel, and then especially if we affirm, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness, not only have we allowed the feeling to leave and be present to it, we're replacing a feeling with a truth. With a God-given truth, with the big T truth at the highest level, right? So I want to encourage you to do that. And then the next piece of that, and if you're on CCU's email, you saw I went through a series of gratitudes. And I'm sharing this with you because I maintain a spirit of enthusiasm. I maintain a spirit of hope. I maintain a spirit of trust and connection with God through doing these very simple things. And that is to be in gratitude. I shared several months ago that I got my first tattoo, and that tattoo is gratitude, because I never want to forget. And if I'm in gratitude, it doesn't mean I go, oh, I'm so glad I'm not going through what they are. That's pity, and that's also putting yourself above another. We want to be doing the opposite at this always, but especially now. If we see someone hurting and in pain, we want to be in compassion. We want to be sending our love and seeing how we can be of support. But our gratitudes are a moment by moment, step by step, day by day process. It's a call to remember that wherever we are, God is. So we notice things in the outer to remind us of this inner presence that we have, that we lovingly call the Christ. So if you're going through a tough time now, to really be in those gratitudes helps bring your mind back into focus and to put it back on God, realizing that worry and fear take us from our feeling of connection, take us from our knowingness that God is everywhere with us. So I'm going to give you a few examples, and then I'll have Dawn read our special scripture for the day. But some of my gratitudes might be, thank you, God, for this moment here and now. Thank you, God, I have enough air to breathe. Thank you, God, for the support of those that love me and those I love. Thank you, God, that you are with me every moment of every day. Thank you, God, for the smile on my son's face. Thank you, God, that as I walk outside, I can feel little sprinkles coming down, and I know that's a reminder of you. Thank you, God, that I feel the sun on my face. Thank you, God, that there's enough air for me to breathe. There's enough sun to keep me warm. Thank you, God. I am so grateful. And so as we sit with that energy, we realize a shift has happened. And as I give words of gratitude, what I'm doing is I'm waking up my awareness of all the good that God is. Now, you may not realize this, but I was just reminded of an article I read about the brain and how the brain works. And I'm putting out some videos. I think they're going to start coming out later this week. I just recorded them recently. And in those videos, I cited this research. It was from an article in Psychology Today. I think I mentioned this a while back here, too, because there's a way that the brain works, that the brain is trained, like the brain automatically operates, to see the negative, to see what's wrong. It's called the negativity bias. It's why advertising works, because it connects with that aspect of the brain that thinks something is missing. So because our brain is trained to see what's wrong and what's not working, that can be very helpful. But if we are consumed by that, we're going to forget that God is where I am. God is where you are. That there is enough for me. That I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit sickness. So as we name our feelings, as we name that I am, as we speak those words of gratitude, that will bring us back into alignment. That God is all there is. Love is all there is. And is right where I am. So if you find yourself going off in these other directions, bring yourself back with the gift of gratitude. Now, we are going to do a special scripture for Palm Sunday. It's from the Gospel of John, and Don will read that for us.
Yes, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, and it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." God bless this reading.
Yes, thank you. And Don, hand me that if you will. I might read one other scripture as well from the Gospel of Luke. I really had a wonderful time researching for today. You know, the story of Palm Sunday is in every gospel, and there are a few things that are in every gospel. But I want to read a section out of the Luke Gospel as well. And as I say this, I want to remind you, not even the birth story is in every gospel. So when there's something that shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's usually this idea that it's a very, very important story because each of those gospels was written for a different reason to a different group of people. So in Luke, the scriptures at Luke 19 and starting with verse 28. And the story's virtually the same, except for when it gets to the end of the scripture and it says, I'm just going to read verse 38 through 40. It says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Okay, I think there's a lot of really important things in these scriptures, and I've talked with several colleagues over the last several days of, are they speaking on the scripture or not? And I have to because of what I believe is happening. I believe a big reason we are where we are as a world right now is because of what we've done to planet Earth. And I every year come back to the scripture that Jesus said, if people didn't call out my name, these stones would cry out. In the native tradition, our stones are seen as elders, as living, as having life and energy. And I believe on planet Earth right now, the stones did cry out. And that's why we've stopped. That's why everything has stopped. It was the birds, but it was nature crying out and saying, stop. Stop polluting. Stop going. Stop doing. Stop. And remember your place in the universe. Stop. There is a grand humility right now that's happening. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have or what you own, you are stopping. It doesn't matter what color you are or what your orientation is, you are stopping. So we go to the other scripture that Dawn read in the Gospel of John that says that Jesus came in on this tiny donkey. What we know is that at that time, the Jews wanted a political Messiah. And a political Messiah would have come in on a great white horse, I believe, not a tiny donkey. And so there was great humility in this act, and it turned everything upside down. And that's exactly where we are now. Everything's upside down in the best possible way. Some of the most important people on the planet right now are janitors and people who clean up, people who deliver groceries for a living. Are some of the most important people on the planet right now. Our healthcare workers that are taken for granted, some of the most important people on the planet right now. In the traditional look at this scripture, Jesus on the donkey, what we know is, yes, it was a very humble act. And metaphysically, we know that it was about rising above the animal forces. Of course, the animal forces are the forces of the lower nature, the voices of the ego. The voices of the ego. So what this means to us on the spiritual journey and as we study the Bible in unity, it means we are to put on the Christ itself and rise above our own ego self. To transmute and transcend these voices of fear and worry and doubt and not enough. That we transmute and transcend and move into our Christ itself, our holy self, where we live from the soul of us, not just from the mind that sees all the problems, but from the soul of us. This is our call right now. Remember, I talked last week about releasing aspects of the personality. That's happening day, well, really moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. We're releasing more and more and more because the things we used to do are no longer working. But when that happens, this normal fear comes up of, oh my gosh, what's next? Well, we know the God in us, the Christ in us, knows all. If we were in church, I would say with me, the Christ in me knows all. The Christ in me knows all. The Christ in me is strong. The Christ in me is grateful. The Christ in me is amazing. The Christ in me is powerful. So Jesus showed us how to do this. Because we know Jesus was always teaching on many different levels at the same time. He was teaching to the common folk that couldn't read or write and to the religious Pharisees caught in their religiosity. Well, right now, it's dangerous to be caught in your religiosity. And we see it on the news, on the TV every day. We want to be brought up, risen up in the spiritual. We want to be alive to God, alive to the Christ within, rising above that lower nature. I'm going to give you a couple of other descriptions of the lower nature. And I'll tell you, the best place to go and find those is Facebook. Facebook is the underbelly of society. It is the shadow of humanity. When you see somebody wishing somebody else ill during these times, that's the lower nature. When you see people saying this isn't real, and yet we know people all around the world have died, this is the lower nature. The Christ nature says, I see what's happening. I unfold my world in love. I look at my life and see how God is guiding me, what I'm being guided to let go of, what I'm being guided to bring forward, how I'm being guided to live in a new way, that this is a time of rich soul process. This is how we rise above this lower energy. We unplug from that and we go to God first. We go to God always. And in doing that, we're helping the world. In doing that, we're helping healing to be possible. By going inward, by doing our work in prayer, by seeing our world lifted and supported in consciousness, we're helping. We want to rise above the negative. We want to transmute and transcend and become divine alchemists by making everything negative into love. We want to see everything that's happening and transmute it and transcend it, sending it back out into the world as a vibration of love for all. This is a call to do the deepest spiritual work of our lives. And I'm with you in it, friends. My work keeps me focused on what's important. My soul. Supporting other souls. Making sure my life is in order. Rising above the negativity, transmuting and transcending. And remember, if you get off track in the coming days, if you have moments of frustration, go to gratitude. If you have moments of frustration, breathe. Go to your heart. Unplug. Spend time outside. Remember the truth that sets you free. And the people were saying to Jesus, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They were acknowledging Jesus' connection to God. The question I would want to ask myself and any of us would be, what might people say when they see us coming? There goes joy and gratitude. There goes peace and spirituality. Or there goes What would it be? So this is the call to raise up, to be that of the Christ during these times. We all need each other at our best self right now. And when we're not there, we reach out. When we're not there, we do our soul work. And know I'm here, CCU is here, to support you on your journey.
Thank you for listening to the weekly message from CCU Orlando, presented by Unity of Nashville. If you're searching for a like-minded church community and a personal connection that supports your heart and mind in the Central Tennessee area, then join Unity of Nashville at 10 a.m. every Sunday at 5125 Franklin Pike. For more information, head over to unityofnashville.org. This channel is also made possible through the continued support of our angel patrons, Dove Borland, Peter Gibson, Paul Caswell, Arlene Meyer, Kathy and Terry, Marcia Mott, Nora Miles, Diana Cox, Leslie Williams, Susanna Garcia, Shayla Mount, Dorothy Moore, Aggie Payton, Taryn Tucker, and Anna Evans, along with our other partner patrons, Natural Awakenings Magazine and Zen Living Realty. If you would like to support the channel as a patron on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The weekly message is copyright 2020 CCU Orlando, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Shannon Croft and used with permission. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.